Take a minute and ask yourself why you want to be a journalist. Is it to tell stories? Is it to give a voice to the voiceless? Do you want to make the world better? Or is it just about the excitement of being close to power, or being close to danger, or being close to fame? Whichever one it is, you will need to be more than just a journalist now. You will need to be a publisher too. In this podcast, I'm going to talk about how journalism and publishing became inseparable and what that means for you as a 21st century journalist. And to do that, I need to start in the 20th century. Now, in the 20th century, production was physical. Let's just pick a year, 1989, for example. In 1989, if you were a journalist, you would have to go and get a story first, before you did anything else. You would have to pick up the phone or go out to the office and do something physically to get that information. You would then have to produce the story. You would have to take the pieces of information that you'd gathered and combine them in some way, either in text for print or in audio for radio or video for television. And once you'd done that physical process of production, you would hand it over to other people to do other parts in the process, to do the editing, to do the combining of elements on a page, to design that, to print it, to distribute it. Now, even in 1989, digital elements were creeping into production. We had satellite technology, we had some elements of digital information so we could transmit information in digital means. The internet existed, although the World Wide Web hadn't yet been invented. So already this process that I'm about to describe was starting to take place, and organisations were saving costs through this. But as information became digitised, there was an opportunity for publishers and for journalists. For publishers, it was about cutting costs, as I've said, but journalists also saw an opportunity to get around the limitations of physical production. You no longer needed a printing press, or perhaps an ad sales department, even a designer or an editor or a distributor. Those elements that were a part of the physical world, that were part of distributing newspapers or transmitting analogue signals to television and radio sets, those physical limitations no longer applied when we started to have the World Wide Web and digital news production. As a result, for the last decade or more, the traditional news story has been stretched in two directions. In the one direction, we've had increased speed. We've had faster news, faster production, faster distribution. In the other direction, we've had more depth. We don't have the limits of a 30-second package or a 30-minute broadcast or 300 words or however many column inches your newspaper or magazine was limited to. Now, because of that, it's created a range of new storytelling forms. We have microblogging, we have live blogging, we have blogging itself, which is about putting out perhaps less formal, less structured, less traditional stories. We have curation, we have audio slideshows, interactives, multimedia, database-driven, personalised journalism, mapping, and I could go on. All sorts of new storytelling forms. And this is the problem you face as a journalist: a proliferation of storytelling formats and of platforms. And as a result, you have a new responsibility for distribution and publishing strategy. And that takes us back to where I began, which is why journalism and publishing have become inseparable. In 1989, you could find the story and tell the story, but you didn't have a responsibility to make sure it got to an audience. Now you do. You may still have an editor, you may still work with distributors. Other people still do those jobs in print and in broadcast. But even if you are working in print or broadcast, you are also working online. You are running a Twitter account, you might be running a blog, you might be running a Storify or a Pinterest or a Facebook page. And in all of those cases, you're responsible for the platform, you're responsible for publishing, and you're responsible for distribution. The book stops with you. Now, the first step to tackling a problem is to recognise it. And that's all I want you to do in this first week. When journalists talk about information overload or multitasking, it's because these problems have crept up on them. In the next few weeks, we're going to talk about the skills to pick the right platform and the right formats for a particular story. But before any of that, I want you to tackle information overload and multitasking right up front. And as a start towards that processing, I want you to pick a project you might work on and answer the following questions about your audience. And these questions really follow the five W's and a H that every journalist knows. So firstly, who? Who are your audience? The more specific, the better. How old are they? What gender are they? What jobs do they do? Where do they live? So who is your audience? Secondly, what are their problems? What are they trying to solve? Next, why are they online? What are they doing there? Why have they connected to the web? Do they use it socially, professionally? A mixture of the above. How do they access information? Are they at a desktop computer? Are they on a mobile phone, a tablet? Where are they online? What platforms are they using? Are they on Facebook? Are they on LinkedIn? Do they use the BBC News? Do they use Twitter? And when are they online? Is this something that they access at work or in the evenings, on the way to work? It may, again, be a combination of the two, and they may be accessing it through different devices at different times. Now, we're going to talk about the answers to those questions in the class. So if you need to skip back and go through them again, who, what, why, how, where, and when, then do that now. And then when we talk next, I'm going to talk about fleshing those answers out into your first online journalism project.